Sometimes when I expand my heart, I try to bring something on, and there's a warmth.
Of course. Well, because, you know, you've never been in your life in a situation where you got enough nourishment and enough love, right? Without being ripped off. This is your whole thing, right? So it'll take a while for that to accumulate, right? And this is what it is. And everyone is so self-protective, you know. I am not going to open my heart to have somebody spit in me again. And we walk around unconsciously with that kind of an attitude. And this is why it's wonderful having this kind of attitude. Who needs it? I mean, it costs me 50 times more being here on a weekend than the accumulated earning power of everyone here. Truly, it really does. Well, so what? So you're doing a little work. What the hell does that come down to? It's a hill of beans, according to, you know, what? You're saving me $5 a year. It costs me 10 for every dollar that you save me. And it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I have to be a very well-organized person on this level, you know? So this is my contribution. But I won't physically support the ashram because then it would make you all ineffective. But in a completely energy level, you know, it costs me 1,000 times more energy to do my work than it does all of you. You do here, it takes an ounce. You do here, it takes a pound. You do here, it takes 20 pounds. You do here, it takes 500 pounds, and on and on and on. And it's the same thing with your growth. The amount of effort it will take you to move 1 inch, you know, is unbelievable. It'll take you, you know, 6 months of work to move an inch. The second inch you'll do in 3 weeks. The fourth inch you'll do 2 days later, you know, and in 10 years you move about 60 miles in a half hour. You know, spiritual growth, you know, does not take place at the same rate. It accelerates unbelievably. Unbelievably. And that's the only way it could ever happen. Because how can anyone be as dumb as all of you, you know, and have a hope? If it takes you so long to straighten your head out, you know, from here to here, you think you can keep growing at the same rate? You'd have to be 6 million years old. And this is the thing you must realize. What you're doing is getting, you know, your muscles to come alive again. They're dead muscles. Some of them have been dead 5,000 and 10,000 years old. So what you're doing is getting a mechanism. Once you have a mechanism, it doesn't take very long. I mean, it took Henry Ford 30 years to make a car. They knocked them out 1 second. It's the same thing in growing. It takes you a long time to make the first move. And usually that's 3/4 of an illusion. And the second move, it takes a little less, and then a little less, and after a while, you really can go through your life, and you really can have eyes behind your head. It takes you a long time to make the first move, and usually that's 3/4 of an illusion. And the second move, it takes a little less, and then a little less, and after a while, you really can go through your life, and you really can have eyes behind your head. You really become much more sensitive. Look, they say money goes to money. Spirituality goes to spirituality. I mean, I can sit with anyone and draw out of them their entire structure and system in a couple of days. And this is the thing that happens. So you have to work very hard now. Most of you are very young. You have a tremendous capacity. But you have to get your mechanism in order. What good is taking in a lot of knowledge? You have to take in a lot of energy so that you can retain, not just drool, and it's like having diarrhea. You're taking it on one end, it's going out the other. You have to, inside, make a muscle system that can hold energy, that can hold creative force, so that you really can grow from inside yourself and expand and expand and expand. And there are so many people, I mean, I know lots of people with spiritual libraries that could fill this room, and they're crazy. They're building pressure on pressure on pressure on pressure. And if you want to grow, you have to grow, absorb a system, break it, and use that to burn out so that you can put in a fresh crop. I mean, at the end of the season, what do you do with a garden? You plow it under. But so many of you have such insecurity that you hold a little bit of this and a little bit of that as if you had found the Holy Grail and the original pair of chopsticks. Huh? It's crazy, you know? I've got a secret. The only mystery in this room is all of you to yourself, you know? understand. And this is the only mysteries that exist. Because knowledge, all of these things are there. They're laying right in front of your nose. The reason you can't take it in you is that you're not free. So you're growing. All of your spiritual work is to grow, to free yourself. And it's a muscle system. This thing inside us is a muscle system. Again, the thing on earth as it is in heaven. What makes you go physically? Muscles. What makes you go spiritually? Muscles. You use spiritual muscles, and you work off physical muscles to really bring spiritual muscles into being. I mean, Greg teaches Aikido. What is Aikido? It's learning to use physical muscles to gather in and have a sense of harmony with spiritual force, with other kinds of energy. You need one kind of energy to reach another kind of energy to reach another kind of energy. And so the whole thing of spirituality is physical, spiritual, manifestation, nothing. It becomes more and more abstract until you're free of all of these things which have to manifest. And it's the need to maintain, which has to do with insecurity. To be free is to not need anything. That you really are drawing off and growing, and you don't have to have all kinds of stuff in you. A Buddhist, a Sufi, a Hindu, or this or that. It doesn't make any difference. What does it matter? No? If you're talking on a bone, it doesn't matter if it's a chicken bone or a fish bone or a Sufi bone or a Buddhist bone. You're choking. The very nature of it is that you're dropping dead and you're saying, it's not, it's all right, because the bone that's gagging me is not, So you're choking on a turnip. Does it matter whether it's a turnip, whether it's a vegetable, or whether you're dying from this disease or that disease? Does it make it more, acceptable? Because you're dying because you're studying Sufism, you're dying because you're studying Buddhism, you're dying, you're studying that. That's fine, And this is the nature of people's comparisons, One form of death is preferable to another. Who cares what you're dying from? I want to know what's giving you life and what's freeing you and what's making you happy. And you have to stop all the shit in the head, of defending this or fighting for that, Because if these are things that are not giving you freedom, they're not making you happy, they're not something that you can drop, Then it's not worth having. Because to be free to really have your realization is to be free to surrender all of those things, not to be caught on them. They have to be learned so that they can be surrendered, not learned so that they can be held. Because spirit is spirit. Now all this other stuff is manifestation of spirit. And it doesn't matter how great the book ever was or how great the teaching ever was, if it becomes the limitation, if you die with that in you, you've died, with less than what you can have by being free. Freedom, is that level above whatever it is that you're involved with at this particular moment. You have to realize that there's nothing that can be four races, And freedom is the highest thing and the highest manifestation of spirituality. There's no manifestation at all. It's spirit. It doesn't have a physical form or body or limitation. And ultimately, you have to have that kind of freedom to be realized. Does anyone else have a question? Yes.
When you're talking about looking up, the crowd,
You don't have to open up behind you. If a flower is here opening here, right? It also extends in the back. It's not a flower which blooms from here forward. Yeah? Right? Can't you visualize that?
Mm-hmm.
If the center of the flower is in the middle of your body, right? And it opens to here. Right? Do you think it opens to here and to here?
Well, I'm
blocking
it.
Of course. You're a frontal flower, Jordan. We've always said that about you. You just visualize a flower opening here, then you slowly see it opening all the way around, right? By centering the core of it, In the middle of you, right? Then it has to open here, it has to open the same radius all the way around.
Yeah, it's a very, very spacious behind you.
We'll give you a table against the wall when you have dinner and let the flower open. You must have been a cowboy in your former life. Does anyone else have a question? No, but those are real things, Jordan. You know, it really is. There is that very much. And it's another kind of a thing. You're afraid of being attacked. I mean, you know, this is what it is. But you're not going to be free of that if you're in this ashram. That's what I'm saying. Because we have to, in a sense, be attacked. And we have to attack ourselves. You have to have the freedom inside to take in enough nourishment to be clunked and not have it matter. I mean, I had a really very wonderful experience Friday. I have a kid who does work for me. He has very, very, very little money, but he's a sensational repairman. And he came in, he said, I wanted to come with you last night. It's just a rainy day, but it's not the worst thing that happened today. He lost two pieces of sculpture that he's repairing for me. This cost quite a few $100s. And this guy is as honest as anything could be. I thoroughly trust him. And I said to him, well, I said, what can you do about it? He said, I'm going to put a notice, you know, in the hall. And he said, you know, we've got a kind of an underground thing in my neighborhood. Somebody will come up with it. I said, fine. And I said, well, you know, I mean, really, I like him. I really like him very much. I don't know him very well. But those two things are not worth him. And it's true for all of you. I mean, a piece of furniture or a chair or this or that or the other thing, these things don't really matter to me. I'm really not concerned about that, because that's only what money can replace. But you all represent the thing that money cannot replace. And I really would be glad to burn this building down if you wanted me to as a demonstration. You know, but this also was not quite needed. But the thing that's needed is that inside you really can feel secure enough and loved enough and valued enough to really open inside. And if the atmosphere doesn't do that to you, if you're not really willing to work and really come to life, then you have to decide what you want. And then you want something with a limitation. I don't want, with me, anything with a limitation. And I also don't want a student with a limitation. I'm not trying to raise, you know, things like a dog school where you don't piss on the road. This is not the level of what I'm trying to train you for. I really want people who really want to be free, you know, and happy and enlightened and eventually get the hell out of here. I'm not trying to surround this place with dependent people. You grow, and as I feel free to leave, and I feel Greg is capable of carrying on, he then has to bring somebody or raise somebody who can free him. And the whole, you know, thing of our life, I mean, one of the greatest stories ever written is this thing of an enchantment, you know, which is a very basic fairy tale. And you are stuck in a position in this life until you can bring somebody to consciously replace you. Greg is consciously taking the responsibility that I have, and it's his ashram. I'm not going to come and interfere, really. I'll try to support him, I'll try to nourish him, and I'll try to do what he wants, because it really will be his ashram. It's not for me in any way to do. I mean, I want to be able to come and go to an auction with Rob on Saturday, you know, and drive around the country and go to Fleischmann's and have coffee and cake and sit in the restaurant in that sense. Because if I don't do that, then I'll be blocking his light and blocking his energy. And what more could I ask? I've waited 20 years for someone to grow up to do this work. I certainly am not going to screw it up. It's too valuable for me. I'd like next winter to be out on the someplace taking the sun or studying or doing something which I want to do in my life. And you all are in the same position. You're stuck because you haven't grown up in that position and you haven't freed anyone, you know, and you're stuck in your own enchantment. And to be spiritually realized is to really grow up and transcend all of the things which take your life force away from you. So you have to realize that. I mean, it isn't to become a Hindu or to become a Buddhist or to become anything else, because that's all shit in the head, you know. I mean, none of you, it doesn't matter what your past lives were or what your future lives might be. I mean, even if you came back and you were the Dalai Lama, you'd have to die having transcended that, you know? To be stuck in any kind of situation or any kind of an image is, again, a limitation. And if the Dalai Lama dies the Dalai Lama, he will have lived his life in vain because he was born that. He has to go beyond that to have had any growth in his life. Do you understand? I mean, whatever you're born, this is your potential. To be realized, you have to transcend that which you were born with. Not to live up to it, but to go beyond that and to be free of it. And all you see are people who represent a certain kind of karma which they haven't been able to free themselves from. my idea of being realized is being able to sit and throw pebbles in the lake, you know, having Greg teach a class and having not a muscle in me concerned about his capacity or what he's doing or what he's not doing. And I have never sat in on a class, which I don't do very often, without feeling tremendous nourishment and gratitude and love that I have the good sense to write somebody who I can leave the business to. That's being free. Not having to look at the book, not having to check him out, not having to anything. I'm very, very, very grateful that in me there is that which feels completely free. And when I travel or when I'm not here, you know, it's him. I mean, it's nothing worse than getting married and having a mother-in-law come and look in the refrigerator and check the stove out and all this other stuff. It's humiliating. I don't expect to put Greg through that kind of a thing. If I have a problem, I'll speak to him directly about it. But none of you ever make the mistake of trying to work me against Greg or Greg against me. Let me tell you, you're going to get your ass shot off. And that's one thing that will never, ever exist in this ashram or in any place where I ever give anyone authority. That's the biggest mistake to ever, ever, ever be involved in. And it's the same way with Rob in the store or Peter and Marina in the restaurant. If you have the capacity to give someone a position, then you support the position or you destroy the position. Well, I will not certainly destroy Greg's position, and I certainly won't destroy Rob, and Peter and Marie have to earn their position because it's a new one. And it's true for all of you. You either grow into and transcend whatever situation you're involved in, or you're not worthy of it, because you're either beneath it, and Sherry and Jordan so far have been beneath it. Peter and Marie, certainly, I feel a little bit that they're beneath it. This is just starting, right? Yeah, it's not wrong to be beneath it. It's wrong to think you're above it when you're beneath it, because that's a stupid situation. So for all of you, when you're working, fine, you make a mistake. Nobody expects you to be perfect. You know, we are here to help you. We're here to love you and to give you within yourself the capacity to admit that you're not doing quite what you should do. There are people who will help you do it. Insanity is when you're not doing a job and you are in yourself in such a weak position that you have to assume an illusion because you can't accept the reality of where it is. And so your security here is that there's a tremendous energy force because of a lot of people working together towards a common, you know, direction. So when you have a need inside and you really are working on all cylinders, you can draw 50 times more than you contributed in the room. Any one of you now can sit and drink and take in you at least 100 times more consciousness, you know, than you could possibly manufacture in yourself because it's in the room. It's like a great blood bank where you give, you know, every day you give a pint, and then when you need it you can take in 60 gallons. That's really the purpose of a group of people working together spiritually. That when you make a great effort or everything in you, Venus and Jupiter cause something else and suddenly something opens in you. You can drink deeply and really move and move and move and move. That's what a brotherhood is about. That's what a group of people working together is about. Not to put each other down, but to give each other a situation where we can put you up because we're working together. And we really love you. There's nobody here because, they've been afflicted on us. If there was somebody here who was in affliction, I would have them thrown out in 1 second. And you have to in yourself realize that you're here because you want it. And the thing you can do is to make a deeper commitment in yourself, take in more nourishment, and become more valuable to us as a group so that we raise the level, everyone grows faster, and then we have that to offer other people who come. This is really what an ashram is and what a group is. But nobody's going to be allowed to stay here who isn't productive, who isn't really feeling muscle stretching and growing every day beyond where they are. I would throw out, as much as I would want, the best plumber who existed for 5,000 miles around. I don't want a plumber or anyone who's capable of a great cook or anything else at the expense of the people in the ashram. As hard up as it might be for a plumber, you know, and as much as I always worship the god of the plumbers and electricians, I still would make that sacrifice because the integrity of what we're trying to reach for has to be more than the personality, you know, or the particular you know, aspects of a particular person having a particular talent. I mean, I've received millions of dollars from individuals. I certainly could find it within me to surrender a plumber or some other person who thinks he's an administrator. And one of the reasons I love Greg is that Greg was making a tremendous amount of money at one point. And he gave up $500 a week to come here at $50 a week. Or less if the situation became that. So I'm not concerned about Greg's situation or Greg's vulnerability. You know, and you have to, all of you, look to yourself and see your own value. And I know Rob certainly can do better on a financial way, but not in any other way. And I really want to love you for that. And that's what sacrifice is about. It's really to transcend yourself and work beyond, you know, any possible level for the good of yourself and good of the people around you. I mean, I spend my weekends here, you know, whereas my soul is now jumping in the surf in Fire Island every once in a while. I'm here and trying to give you everything that I possibly have to really work beyond me. This is what consciousness should be about. It's what spirituality should be about. And we either have that, so we represent a group with tremendous vitality, tremendous inner communication and values, you know, or we really become vulnerable because somebody has a sick ego, somebody has a sick personality, and they expose, you know, many people because of their weakness. We shouldn't be here, you know, in a sense, because of weaknesses, but because of the ability to transcend weaknesses. Who's performing what? Who went?
The band is there right now.
No?
And then Bob and Richard and Simon.
What are you going to play, Bob and Tim?
Okay.
I will. We'll commence with the entertainment.
Of course. Sure. Because it depends. You can take your mouth off the tip three times. Right? Every time you take your mouth off the tip, what happens? You get felt. Right? And otherwise, what do? I mean, you stay on this thing, sucking, 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 sucking. You start taking a lot of air and you get gassy. You know? It really is a consciousness while you're working. You have to open and digest. The energy comes in, you feel it flowing, and I've always said that you do the double breathing or the single breathing as you need, you know, maybe five times in a half hour. But every time you finish the breathing, you have taken in a quantity of your energy and my energy and God's energy, and then this thing should be absorbed. You know? To be absorbed and digested and transcended to become yours. Otherwise, it's coming in, going out, coming in, going out. Blump, it all goes out again. Then you do the same thing again. But a negligible amount is digested. When you consciously belt yourself by opening and transcending, then your muscles have absorbed, sucked in the energy, and expanded, that energy stays within you. You understand? Because you have expanded and transcended, then the energy is absorbed in the expansion and in the transcendency. So your chakras are growing. They're growing because they suck deeply into the root system of each chakra, this energy, and that's what they use to expand. Yes.
I don't understand how it can go up with this time.
Do you ever take a breath while you're working and feel yourself moving up?
Feel
no, you feel an expansion, you feel a stretching, right? That means the energy is coming into the chakra, you know? That's why you put your hands together and you feel this expansion. Do it. Put your hands like this, all of them. You know, the base of each palm touching and the fingers spread apart. Alright, now feel energy in the middle of your palm. You feel it, you know?
and then very, very slightly, just to move your the top of your fingers a little apart. You feel the energy going from the fingers? Right? Then move your fingers a little more. Straighter fingers. Just put your hands straighter. Yeah, right there. Right. You feel the energy in your fingers, you feel the energy in your palms. Now move your fingers a little more. Good? The energy goes right down, you know, into your wrist. It's like the base of a smile, you know? You understand? And that's what you should feel in the chakras. You know? Feel? You're making a hole. You're taking two tears and you're making a hole. You're making a flower out of your hands. You know? It's remarkable. The minute you do it, you have psychically created a living flower, something which can draw an energy, and you feel the thing moving. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what you should feel in your heart, that the energy is sucked into the outside of the muscles of the heart, drawn into the core, you know, and expanding from the base of the core, you know, and you really feel something very, very remarkable. Yes. Yeah.
Something's
wrong when I'm doing that, right? Because when I breathe in and heart chakra, that's working well now. Pretty often. But usually, I don't feel it. I mean, just sense of sense, but I don't feel it so much down here, although sometimes I have before. But I don't feel anything down here compared to
the way
it
was.
Of course.
Because
you've been dead in your heart for 5,000 years, and you've been dead in that chakra for
20,000
years.
But I felt down here before. I felt strong pain in it before.
No, but that was a different kind of feeling. It wasn't the feeling of something alive. See, this is like, you know, in Zen, they would go, right? It's a gorilla. That's a gorilla. The heart is like a bird, you know? And these are chakras which have evolved over millions of years. They haven't come into being, you know? I mean, 2,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago. These are ancient energy centers. Each one originally belonged to one being. The third chakra was a fish, yeah? The gills were a fish, right? The heart was a bird, and this one, the solar plexus, was a gorilla, yeah? And the base of the spine, right? Was a dinosaur. It was a tail of a fucking prehistoric beast, yeah? And this is the brain of the man, you know, this is why it's so difficult, because these things everyone assumes are equal, and they were equal only in conception and inception. But they're millions of years old. And so we, you know, and this is really what's always interesting. You always think of Darwin's theory or this one's theory. Man was a fish, and man was a bird, and he was everything. And we always limit ourselves in our concept of it was this and it was that. And I've always told you that. And it is not this or that. It is this and that and that and that and that. And we are more always than we can believe. Always. Much, much more. It's much more vast and much deeper. And, I mean, I feel this as the base of my spine. It's like a 5-block long tail that can go bang, bang, bang. You know, really, that's tremendous energy. And you have to realize that what you're opening is so enormous that how could it possibly open in a day? Yeah. And when you begin to stretch your mind to realize how extraordinary these things are, how deep they really are, you become grateful for feeling anything, if you can even feel that thing. Because you're reaching into space and time. All of these chakras exist in space and time. They don't exist in your physical body. So you're trying to connect an energy which is millions of years old. Yeah? So what is yoga? What is anything? It's a little tiny, you know, it's like taking a ruler of a billion miles, you know? And you say, this is a billion, and here we are looking at a 12-inch ruler, you know? And we're measuring ourselves in our own life on this infinitely small scale and think we have the universe in this 12 inches. And that anything works is a miracle. Because it is so big, it is so unbelievably large, you know? And we are so infinitely encrusted with a million years and hundreds of millions of years of crust. And these things are latent. They are so deeply latent in people. And what do they do? Instead of opening, they you hate this one because there's something else, and that one because there's something else. And I had a very, you know, very wonderful thing yesterday. For the first time in my life, I realized that as this year progresses, you know, and a lot of things will come out for me, and I'll grow. I mean, I'll become a more known quantity. It'll be the first time in my life I'll ever know prejudice. Because as I grow, then I will have to provoke untrue people. And I thought of it yesterday for the first time. It was very funny. People will hate me, certainly for specific reasons. They'll say, oh, he's Jewish, and he's this, and he's that. And not, I never had this in my life. And I suddenly sat there thinking, oh, my God, I'm on the brink of a whole new experience. And it doesn't bother me. What does it matter? I mean, they'll reject it for one reason or the other. So what people like or don't like, you know, only has to do with their need to protect themselves. So when someone says, I won't take from you because of this, or because of that, or because of this, it's not me, it's them. They have resistance, and they have to label something, you know? And we always label the things that we fear by, you know, something which can stop us from taking. Now, it's the same way, you know, we take from a cow milk, you know? If you're serious about a cow, you lift this can, you look up the behind, and you're going to see shifts. This is true of everything and everybody. Everything that gives, anything that's nourishing, also has a mechanism that makes garbage, you know? Well, we are not busy in life classifying garbage. We should be busy in life taking nourishment, yes? So are you looking up the behind of every domestic animal that lives, which makes you an expert, you know? You know, on one kind of thing, which is shit. Or else you receive the nourishment from everything, which makes you grow. And most people are experts on shit. They cannot take content from anything, but they can classify in the mind and in the emotions, and they can rip and tear. And 99% of all the books written in the world, you know, are written against something. They're not written for something, you know. They all are definitively destroying some content. You know, it's extraordinary, you know. There are less books written about Jesus Christ in depth as a nourishing person, you know, but most of them are this aspect or that aspect. They are always busy slicing, you know, somebody's being, and smaller and smaller, so that it's suggestible for that person, you know. So instead of the total, you know, and the energy, it becomes more and more a secular thing. It becomes down to a molecular thing, you know. Smaller and smaller particles. And it was a very funny minute for me. And I said, well, I really don't care because I'm really above that. Because everything they say will be true. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm not involved with that. I don't care. Because for all of you, God made you this way, you know? Period. And if somebody says, you are this, or you're this, or you're this, it's true. But isn't it remarkable how you can be this and this and this and also be open and be enlightened? So if they are so wonderful, then let them prove that they are more by not being this and this and this. You know? You know, if I can be to what I came from and still have, you know, quality, then somebody who was born without the curses that were put on me and the problems that are put on me, then they should be higher than me. And that's the only way, finally, they prove their quality, by being more, by being above. You never prove anything by being less earth. You prove it by transcending that. So let them transcend. I am working to transcend what I have. And you all have to understand that. You are made with these things structured in you to be above them or to live with them without tension. Right and wrong, who is to say right and wrong? You know? I mean, anybody. You can go from one culture to another, and it's as different as anything can be. And God made all of it. Every aspect of it. And hating yourself, or working against yourself, you know, being prejudiced against yourself, only proves, you know, your ability to embrace the ass of a cow instead of going to the pit and taking the nourishment, you know? And people live with this all the time. They always go to the place, you know, that does not give nourishment. Because there's only one thing that's involved, and that is you either want to grow or you don't want to grow. And it's very, very, very important. I mean, nothing matters. I mean, some bastard who is ripping people apart for money will always tell you, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You got to get them before they get you. You'll always hear that. And then you know it's somebody you really have to want. I mean, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. They justify their prejudice by being prejudiced, you know? You know, their money things by being, you know, after money. They're doors when it comes to money. They attack sexuality because they're without sex. They attack a mind because they're without a mind. They attack a heart because they're without a heart. Yeah. And it doesn't matter, because if you are above something, you're above it. And I really, you know, when I was in India going crazy, you know, the way I was treated, and not understanding it because it was just violence, you know, for no reason. And I asked for his like Sachidananda, and I must say, I love him forever. He said to me, he said, I can't tell you one thing or the other, but I can only say one thing to you. Are you above it? You remember, it was incredible. I just went, oh, and I just rose right above it. I was, there was nothing to analyze. Why analyze what was going on? There was nothing to analyze. If I could rise above it, I can walk away from it. You know? But by being involved with it, you know? By being involved with it, I became part of it. And if I resented it, I hated it, it was, you know, cruel, it was stupid, it was this, it was that, all the talking in the world would do nothing but feed it. But when I surrendered it, and I rose above it, I was free. And for all of you, your problems, you know, are fighting something on the level that it exists. You can never understand it because you become part of it. You detach from it and say, I wish to surrender, I wish not to be on that level. And you detach by taking a deep breath and opening, and you detach your energy from that connection, and you separate, and you rise above it, and you're free. And you have to be free 6 months before you can look, and you realize what it was. And it's past, it becomes a thing of history. But fighting anything face to face is illusionary, because you are not objective, you are not detached, and you're not above it. And it's very, very vital. So analyzing, you know? I mean, it's like taking all of the garbage that rolls out of you and throwing it from one hand to another. You'll never understand. You have to really surrender, do your exercise, take your breath, open, feel yourself open, and rise above it. And then you'll look and see. It's the same way. You have lousy friends. You have people who keep you up all night long and eat your energy out and spit it in your face. And you get mad with them and you get this with them, but you're there. And you'll be there forever because you're attached to it. But really send them out at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. Go to sleep. You wake up in the morning. You have the energy to be above the situation a little bit each day. In 4 weeks, you won't know them or they will change. Because how can they respect you if you're there with them, throwing mud at each other? And it never will work. You never will find an answer on the level of the problem. And consciousness is the ability to detach and really feel yourself rise above it. And most of the time, we don't want to rise above it because we want to fight. We really express our energy on that level because we want to stay on that level. We have our security on that level. And when you detach, you are freeing yourself so that you can become a free human being. You can save your energy. And, you know, last night I went to the theater, and the first act was over, the second act began, I didn't care, but I got up and left, and I came home and went to sleep. Unless I was really enjoying myself and receiving nourishment and energy from the performance, there was no reason for me to sit and be bored. But I came home and went to sleep. You know, so that I can give this class. You are more important, and it is more important than being well-mannered and being bored to death by a lousy performance. I mean, if people react that way, then the people who are performing would feel the responsibility of their art in a much deeper way. But in life, everyone can turn everyone on because everyone's afraid to make a mistake. Bullshit. It stinks. There's no good manners involved. You are allowing somebody else to inflict on you something third rate, and they feel it's acceptable because you don't remove yourself from it. And I had this boy we were talking about came to the store after some instructions,
And he was sitting there like a bear in a cave in the winter. I mean, he was really a wonderful character. And moaning and moaning, and his eyes were down, and he's thinking. And he would have sat there for 6 hours, and he had made a little whirlpool around himself. I mean, he's sitting there, and everything was sort of flowing one way, because it has to flow for me to be an operator. And right in the middle of it is this little hurricane, a little tornado, just sitting there. And I said to him, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm busy." I said, "Well, get on your feet and walk. You can think as you walk out of here." So when he went home, he said to his mother, "I really like him." Because he wouldn't respect me. This is a very shrewd kid. And anyone who is fractured in certain ways is very, very clever. And particularly someone who's insane. I mean, they really have capacity. They know every move you make. A really insane human being knows everything because they are dependent on everything. They are super sensitive. Because, and I've had insane people who would come and see me. If you change your breathing pattern, they knew it. They are so deeply aware because their life depends on taking everything that is needed. And he respected very much the fact that, you know, I was strong with him. And it really finally comes down to that, that love comes from respect. And you have to respect yourself by being strong with yourself too. And the only way is to never sit there in your own shit, you know, and urine, splashing around with people. You really have to detach and go up. And every time you do this, you raise a level of your energy and you are flowing, not making mud pies and splashing around. Because this thing is a rottening, it's a rotting out thing of laying there and splashing around and not being vitally alive. Being vitally alive is transcending everything. And you have to within yourself understand that. Does anyone have a question? You can keep asking questions, by the way. It's no problem.
So is there anything I can do more to have this more open, more full, and circulating more?
Sure, you can talk to it.
Just throw suggestions?
No, you talk to it. You ever see a dummy, an ventriloquist?
No.
So you put your voice down here. You say, "Come on, I want you to come to life. I need you." Yeah. Yeah. You really talk to it. You really bring it to life, talking to it. Yeah. I mean, you know, what makes a woman's breast low, right? When she's with child, the energy, you know, the growing, the creative energy inside starts to flow, right?